is happening, everybody? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 3, otherwise known as Episode number 28 of the Reverent Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
And this is Neil Huntley.
And we're so happy that you come back to join us for some more Reverent Babbling.
What's up, dude?
Let's see. A lot's actually happened in this past week. I actually got a job.
You got a job.
Well, not like a job.
First off, you didn't say not too much at first. So this is going to be interesting. I'm dialed in now. Please, please do tell.
Okay. Well, like when I say I got a job, it's not like a job where I'm like working every day.
Uh-huh.
But like what it is that I got a job working as a production crew member at a church.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Like, so what I'm going to be doing is that. First off, let me say this. I took the job because I wanted to get more experience in the broadcast media field, since that's kind of what I'm going to be majoring in going into going into college this fall, and the church was wanting some more production crew, and I told them up front, like, dude, I don't have experience. All I've done is a podcast with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And so I know a little bit about audio and video stuff. I've been trying to learn about it. Obviously, I want to learn about it for college. So any experience I could get would be obviously really nice. And
sure.
So I sent in the application last week. The reason why I didn't say anything before is just I wasn't sure all that it was going to entail for me to get it or not. So that's why I didn't mention it on here last week. But I got the job. So
what church is it?
It's at a First Baptist Church of Indian Trail.
Okay, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Well, it's actually The Lift, which is like their more contemporary mm-hmm. style services. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be one of the dudes behind the camera.
Nice.
So like I'd be one of those people who like gets all like the angles on the sides, you know, when the worship groups are singing or whatever. Mm-hmm. That'll kind of be my main job for now. And like whenever I talked to the guy, he said that he would be having me move to a bunch of different places so I can kind of get a taste of a little bit of everything before I go up to school. So
sweet. That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, man. I really appreciate that, you know, but like, yeah, you know, but like I said, like I didn't want to say too much in the podcast.
Oh, I understand.
Or to like people, because I wasn't sure how it was going to pan out, obviously.
Right, right.
And I don't want to say, hey, this is going to happen, and it doesn't, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So I'm actually going to be doing my first camera gig on the 14th, so
okay.
On Valentine's Day.
Nice.
On your birthday.
Yeah, that's right, on my birthday.
On your birthday. So, yeah, but so I'll be working the camera stuff there. I hope I'll be able to actually learn how to do it, because I've never handled camera stuff like that before, but once I get some learning experience in, I'm sure it won't be as difficult for me to figure that out. But yeah, so that's kind of been the big thing for me this past week. That happens, you know, and obviously the rest of it was just basically chilling out, watching some sports. I watched the Charlotte Hornets win a really awesome game last night, or Monday night, you know, because we're recording on Tuesdays. Hornets beat the Heat last night.
Yep.
Which that, okay, and beat the actual Heat. Like, they didn't go outside and almost like sweat to death. Like, they beat the Miami Heat last night.
They're not sweating outside right now, Cody.
No.
And next week, they'll even be less of a chance of sweating when it's the high's like 37 around here. So, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure. So that's kind of what I've been doing with this week. Like I said, I kind of got the new job and watching some
sports in the meantime. You're going to be a double-dipping Baptist now. You're going to be double-dipping at two different churches.
Yes.
Right? Cool deal.
Yeah, pretty much
awesome.
For now, yeah.
That's cool, man. Well, congratulations. I'm happy for you. That's really cool.
Well, thank you, man. That really means a lot to me. I really do appreciate that. So, man, what's new with you?
Well, I'm gonna unzip one out of your book real quick. Hold on.
Okay.
There it is. I'm going to unzip the book. Not too much.
Not too much. Okay.
Yeah, we had a big weekend planned. Okay.
Okay.
And COVID regulations messed us up. And,
yeah.
So, Thursday morning, Graham wasn't feeling too good. Run a real low grade fever. Nothing, you know, nothing out of the ordinary, like nothing crazy or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuck around. And then Friday, we thought we'd take him to the doctor. Maybe he had an ear infection. Maybe he's teething something.
Right.
And they couldn't find nothing wrong with him, of course. You know, and I'm not complaining about the doctors or anything. It's just the whole, the circumstances is what happened.
Right.
They said, well, we need to COVID test him. Well, bless his heart, this is the third time he's had to be COVID tested.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
And it is not fun for a grown adult, let alone a child, to do. And
right.
So
they did
a rapid test and they did a regular test on him. And they said the rapid test will come back in a couple hours. The other test will be in a couple days.
Right.
So they got home because I couldn't go up there. The only one parent and the kid could get in. So I just let Amber go But anyway, so they get home, that we get a phone call that says the rapid test was inconclusive. Okay.
Okay.
Inconclusive means they don't know if he has it or don't have it. So my
That doesn't really help out much.
My initial response is, well, then what in the world did you do the rapid test for if that's even an option for that? That's what blew my mind about the whole thing. But even that, so they said after that we should treat the inconclusive result as a positive until we hear back from the lab results that would be on Sunday night. And so we basically had to pretend like Graham had COVID all weekend, and he did not. Okay, come to find out Sunday afternoon around 2:30 or so that it was negative. But just the whole process of it was just so confusing. And I said, I'm not complaining about the medical people. I'm not complaining about this. Isn't political at all.
If you got it, you got it.
If you don't, you don't. But the inconsistency of this whole mess is just so aggravating. Because the second time Graham had to get COVID tested, they told me and Amber to go about our normal days. Like, we could go to work. Amber could go to
school. Which is weird because, like, how did that change since the last time?
Well, that threw me off when it happened initially. I was like, okay, so they think there's a chance that my son has COVID, but they want me to just go to work like normal. Okay, that don't make any sense. But sure, I mean, I'm going to go to work if they, you know, because I knew he didn't have it. It was just kind of procedure, you know. And then this time it was like, well, if it's inconclusive or the rapid test is inclusive or negative, you need to treat it like it's positive until you hear back from the other one. I was like, well, then what in the world's the point of the rapid? So just do the regular test and tell us to stay home for a couple of days, you know, but whatever. I rest my case on that. He's fine. He's feeling better.
Well, that's good.
We don't even know what it was, but, you know, little kids like that, they can catch the littlest thing. Their body runs a quick fever, fights it off, and then they're good, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, they're... Kids' immune systems are amazing. You know, I wish all had like, the immune system of a child, but we don't. Not all of us do. But that's basically what happened this past weekend.
So that kind of messed up your plans for the weekend then?
Yeah, we were supposed to go out. Amber and I were supposed to go out for our birthday for dinner. And we were fine canceling that, but we're going to go this weekend.
Go
to the Capitol Grill in Uptown Charlotte, do some fine dining, and then come home and hang out with Graham for the rest of the weekend. So it's going to be fun. Amber's birthday was on Wednesday this week. So she's the big 2-8 now. So
she's the big 2-8.
2 years closer to 30 than I am. And then my birthday is the 14th, which is
on Valentine's Day.
Amber asked me what I want to do on Valentine's Day or on my birthday. And it's on a Sunday this year. And it happens to be the same day as the Daytona 500.
Ooh.
Yeah. So she said, what do you want to do on your birthday? I said, I want to get a box of Bojangles and watch the Daytona 500. She said, well, all right. That's what we'll do.
That sounds like a great time to me.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then Graham's is the 28th. So we're all February.
Nice. Right,
which is fun. So when he gets older, even if it'd be nice to like try to time it out for if we do have another one for he or she to be in February too. So we could just all take a trip somewhere in February and that could be our birthday trip.
Month.
You know, I just think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, February is always a fun month, and with the addition of Graham a couple years ago, that's crazy to say a couple years ago, it's even more fun now. But yeah, that's about what happened with us. We just hung out at the house, which I would not trade it for any other way, because we got to play with Graham, we got to hang out inside.
Right.
We were mentally prepared for him to be positive, just, you know, had to kind of prepare ourselves for having to stay home for 2 weeks. But
just in case.
We knew he didn't have it, and we were grateful that it came back negative.
Of course, man.
So,
that's awesome.
That's what's new. That is what was new with me, Cody.
Well, that's pretty awesome, man. That's good.
Oh, yeah. So, we got a good...
Well, of course, other than your weekend not... happening, but
hey, that's okay. Stuff like that can be changed, you know. You know, and even if we had to like lose some money over, I'd spend every dime I could to make sure my Bubba's feeling good.
Of course, man,
absolutely. So, but we got a good show lined up for today. I'm extra happy to talk about some sports news today because it involves two video games. I'm so excited to talk about that. But you got the Double Play Devo coming up, and then we'll get on to some sports. You ready, Cody?
I'm ready, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to this week's Double Play Devo. And like Neil just said just a couple minutes ago, or actually just a few seconds ago when you're listening to this, that it is my week this week to do the double play Devo. And I'll promise...
It's a Devo, not a Tent Revival, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, like, that was what I was just fixing to say, that this... I promise that this week it will actually be a Devo, not a preacher sermon like it was like it was in the first episode of this podcast. But anyway, with that being said, I guess we'll get started. So, Neil, like I had a couple weeks ago, I got a title for this one.
Okay.
I'm learning to become, you know, that true Baptist.
There you go.
You know, that true Baptist person. You know, mm-hmm. You got to have a title for each of your sermons.
That's right. Have a title and have 3 points.
I don't have 3 points, you know, this week.
Oh, come on, man.
I'm getting there. I'm sorry, but I'm getting there.
Well, okay. Devo doesn't need 3 points, so you're good.
All right. All right, man. That sounds cool. But yeah. So this week's Devo is called If You Seek, You Will Find.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you've heard that phrase before.
Sure.
You know, well, like, as if I, and probably many of our listeners have heard that phrase at some point in their life, whether it was at church or by a friend or a family member or something like that.
Right.
But let me kind of start out by saying this. Obviously, if you're saved and you've been a Christian for a while, you know, and you've been in church for a little while and you've taken time to read the Bible a little bit, you've probably gotten to know more information about God and Jesus and things like that. You know, like you'll read in different books of the Bible and you'll learn more like stories in the Bible. You'll learn about different Bible characters, Bible stories, events that happened, or just different information about those people as well as about God and his characteristics and things like that. You know, so like throughout our Christian walk and throughout our lives, we can learn more information about God by reading the Bible or just by hearing other people talk about these stories in the Bible or passages in the Bible. Like, for example, for me, I've been saved since I was 6 years old and I'm 19 now. So I've been saved for 13 years and I've been in a Christian home my whole life. I've grown up in a Christian home. I went to a Christian private school until fifth grade. Even when I started doing homeschool in sixth grade, I did it through a Christian curriculum.
Yeah.
You know, through, you know, the textbooks and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that just kind of tells you how old I am because I actually use textbooks instead of a Chromebook. But anyway, you know, but like, you know, but I've been around a lot of different Christian stuff, I guess I'll call it, my whole life. I grew up in a Christian home. I gone to a Christian school. I'm going to a Christian college this fall.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. So like my whole life's basically been surrounded by learning more information about God and Jesus, whether it's reading the Bible, learning about the Bible stories, learning more about God's attributes and things like that. But although I know more information about God because of all the different things I've experienced throughout my life and being a Christian, being saved and all that stuff, just because I know information about God doesn't mean I'm actively it doesn't mean I'm actively seeking mm-hmm. out God and,
sure.
and, you know, and seeking out God and trying to find God, because knowing about God and knowing God are two completely different things.
That's exactly right.
You know, and that's kind of one of the points I wanted to talk about in the double play Devo for this week. And the main passage I wanted to kind of make my point from is in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. Would you mind reading that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I got it highlighted, ready to go.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
So you said Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 11 to 14. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring back from your captivity. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive."
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for reading that. You know, so like, that passage is, you know, pretty self-explanatory. You know, like the title of this is, if you seek me, you will find me.
Yeah, and the other versions, it says, like, where it says, for I know the thoughts I have, think towards you, the other ones, for I know the plans I have for you, things like that. That's basically what it's the same thing. So, yeah, keep going. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that in there real quick.
Oh, no. It's all good. But, pretty much what that's saying is that when we actively seek God, we not only learn more information about God like you do when we read the Bible, but we also get to learn more about him as a person and just who he is.
Yeah, on a personal level, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, well, like, we can actually develop a relationship with God instead of just
head knowledge. Yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man, for sure. Yeah, but, with that in mind, we obviously go through different periods throughout our lives where we may feel upset or frustrated or
have our doubts,
mm-hmm. you know, things like that, you know, and that can be towards other people that we interact with, you know, like our friends or family or whatever, or towards God himself. You mm-hmm. know, we may have periods where we're going through something and we don't really understand why, you know, like whether it's someone that's a close friend that really hurts you and that really kind of shattered that relationship, or whether it's financial struggles or someone being sick or things like that. You know, we all have periods in our lives where we just kind of have our doubts, like you said, or we just feel upset and angry at God or other people because of what's happening in our lives. When that happens, we obviously don't spend our time trying to seek God. We spend that time instead either kind of being in that hole that we're in or trying other ways to fill that pain or sadness that we're feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, you know, we're not focused on seeking God and learning more about him. But with that being said, the scripture we just read in Jeremiah says that when we seek God, we will find him even during those hard times and mm-hmm. struggles. Like it mentions in verse 14, I'll bring you out of that captivity that you were in. You know, when we seek God, we can find that peace, that security, that comfort, and that drive to do what God has called us to do with our lives. When we actively seek him, he'll be able to lift those burdens off of our chest because we're casting those on him. When we seek him and when we seek him out and we're finding that peace in him, we're able to cast down those things that are making us feel upset or cast down our doubts that we have about certain things, you know. And when that happens, we'll be able to overcome all of those obstacles that we have throughout our lives because we're actively seeking God and drawing closer to him. And, you know, and when that happens also, we're brought to a place where, like I mentioned earlier, we have that close relationship with him because we're seeking him. And when we do seek close to God, I know that it's hard to when we're in the middle of circumstances, but when you are actively pursuing God, all those situations that you're going through or that will happen or think that might happen or just how you're feeling, that weight just feels like it's lifted. Mm-hmm. And that speaks from experience. I think both of us can agree that,
oh, absolutely.
You know, like both of us can agree that whenever we are in that kind of spiritual high, you know, or just that closeness with God, whenever you feel that closeness and that relationship, all the problems that you have or the problems of the world don't really seem mm-hmm. as big as they are when you're not like actively focusing all the time. And obviously it's hard to do it all the time, you know, because we have periods a lot where things will just happen and we just kind of get
caught up in the mix of it.
Right. You know, but it's just like when we seek God, those problems that we go through just are going to feel a lot less of a burden on you.
Absolutely.
For sure. And, you know, and I just kind of want to finish off by saying this. All of what I just said is possible for us to do. You know, all of what I just said, us feeling that peace and that comfort that God gives us, all of those burdens that we have being lifted, us overcoming the obstacles that we have, all that's possible when we seek God. But there's a key part in verse 13 that I kind of wanted to bring out again. It's, if you seek me, you will find me. If we seek him with our whole heart,
mm-hmm.
we have to be actively pursuing. That has to be our primary goal, is to seek out God with our whole heart. Because, like, there are times where we can, obviously, like I said, we can read the Bible, we can pray, and we can do those things. But if we're not actively pursuing it with a, like, that as our main focus, yes, we'll be talking to God and we'll be developing that relationship a little bit, but we won't be as filled up and we won't be having that peace as much, because if having that relationship with God and seeking Him out is not our top priority, then we'll still be feeling that weight because we're not actively pursuing God as our main focus.
That's right. You got to give the effort. You have to give it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It can't just be a routine thing. Okay, well, I said my prayer today. Okay, well, I read what the Bible app told me to read today. You gotta pray with an effort.
Right.
You gotta study Scripture with an effort.
Right.
You gotta seek God with an effort. You know, God can do miraculous things without you doing a thing, but to actively see what He's doing in your life, you gotta actively look for Him. Okay, and when you look for Him, you're gonna see Him. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
When you pick up that phone to pray, not a physical phone, but when you open up that prayer line, you're going to hear from Him, okay? But you got to make that effort and not do it just to check it off your to-do list for the day.
That's absolutely on point, man. I think that's a great way to end that, for sure.
Cool deal. Good defo, man.
Well, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. If you seek God with your whole heart, you will find that peace and comfort and drive that you're looking for.
Good stuff, buddy. All right, it's sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was and the week that is in the world of sports. This is the weekly score.
Okay, that time I waited until you started.
You hesitated, didn't you?
Well, that time I waited until you started. So that way I knew I was going to be at least
I gave Cody trust issues. You have trust issues with me now, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. Cool deal. Well, in old school fashion and to get used to what's coming up soon, Cody has some baseball news.
Yes, I do. I actually have some baseball news to talk about. Trust me, it's not going to be much because obviously baseball season is not here yet.
We did have a pretty blockbuster trade for MLB offseason.
That is for sure. We had a major trade, as the St. Louis Cardinals have officially now, because this was news that was posted last weekend, but it wasn't official yet, but they just came out today, or Tuesday, as of this recording, and said that it is officially happens. Nolan Arenado has been traded to the St. Louis Cardinals from the Colorado Rockies.
John Harris is a very happy man right now.
I bet he is a very happy man right now, for sure, because I know he's a Cardinals fan, and it wasn't enough that they traded for Paul Goldschmidt last year. Now they got probably the best third baseman in baseball.
I was silently hoping that they would accidentally get the wrong Arenado brother, just because there's a rumor that the Hornets drafted the wrong Martin twin and then had to sign the other one because they got them mixed up.
Right.
So I was just kind of somewhat hoping that they would mess up and get the wrong brother,
right,
but they got the right one.
Yeah. Yes. I would definitely say it's a pretty safe bet to say that the Cardinals definitely got a lot in Nolan Arenado, because here's how the trade went down. Nolan Arenado was traded to the Colorado Rockies, or was traded to the St. Louis Cardinals, excuse me.
From the Rockies,
in exchange for one relief pitcher and four minor league prospects.
Wow.
From the Cardinals. The Rockies got pitcher Austin Gomber from the St. Louis Cardinals, who went 1-1 with a 1.86 ERA in 29 innings.
I'll put him in Cooperstown tomorrow.
Oh, I know. I mean, like, so the one major league player that they did get out of this trade is a pretty good relief pitcher. He hasn't played much in the big leagues. This is only like one of two like full seasons that Austin Gomber's had in the major leagues, and he's a good reliever. And the Rockies team just needs help in general, so for them to get anybody on the major league level, I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
But the Rockies had better hope that those other four minor league prospects are going to turn out very well.
That's about 5 or 6 years ago. That was an Atlanta Braves trading for prospects.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all we did for about 3 years was get prospects, and thankfully a few of those prospects have worked out. So
yeah, for sure. And just to mention a quick note, a couple of these guys haven't even played in the minors because they were acquired.
Because they couldn't play.
So they don't have much minor league stats to go off of. But obviously, we'll just have to see how that pans out. But just a quick side note about Nolan Arenado. He has $199 million off of a 6 years remaining on his contract with the Rockies. And as soon as the Cardinals got him, they actually gave him one extra year. So he's going to be on the team for the next 7 years.
Wow.
And as part of the trade as well, Arenado received a no-trade clause. So that's also part
of
the deal.
What a deal.
So that is a deal for the St. Louis Cardinals.
And to get out of a rebuild into a team that could win this year.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like the Cardinals were a good team last year. Obviously, they made the playoffs. But you felt like they needed that one more push to kind of put them over the top. And I would say Nolan Arenado definitely adds to their team for sure,
absolutely.
To say the least.
That's crazy.
To say the least.
So we got a big blockbuster trade in baseball. And it wouldn't be a good baseball segment if we didn't talk about the league office and the Players Association arguing with each other. So do we have anything on that?
Yes.
Oh, shocker.
Yes. The soap opera continues yet again for another year as the MLB and the MLB Players Association had a recent meeting to kind of talk about having a delayed start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the proposition was for spring training to start on March 22nd and opening day being April 28th.
Okay.
That was supposed to be the proposition. The Players Union quickly said no to that proposition. And as of right now, the season is going to go on as scheduled, a 162-game season. That would entail for spring training to start February 17th. Mm-hmm. So just here in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And for the first stage of the regular season to be the 1st of April.
Okay.
So that's the plan right now. Like I just mentioned, they had a proposal for the season to start later, and it'd be less games. Not many. It was going to be 154-game season.
Yeah, eight games less, right? Yeah.
Yes. You know, but obviously, like I said, the Players Association quickly said no to that.
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, the season's going to still be going according to schedule, but there's still time for things to change, as it always is with Major League Baseball.
Eventually, they'll end up meeting in the middle somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it. They'll argue over two games, guaranteed.
I guarantee they will.
It'll end up being a 160-game season, and you said that right now they're expected to start spring training the 17th of February?
Yes.
So they'll start
with the regular season on April 1st.
Yeah, the regular season April 1st. So I'm going to go ahead and make a guess, and we'll see how close I am, I guess.
Okay.
So they'll start spring training. Let's see. They'll start that on the 26th. Okay, February 26th.
Okay.
And they'll start, the first game of the regular season will be April 12th.
April 12th.
Okay, I don't even know what day of the week 12th is. I'm just thinking somewhere in the middle of where they wanted it to be.
Right.
So go ahead, yes. Mark it down.
Yeah, just mark it down your calendars.
It's going to happen. The spring training on the 26th, first game on April the 12th. It's going to happen.
Okay, I will bet you $15 if that happens.
$15. We're betting on a Christian podcast.
Yes, we are.
All right. So this $15 either way is going to buy one of us lunch right there.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, how about I say I'll buy you lunch?
Okay.
So that way we're not betting.
There you go.
Yeah. Like either, that way we're not betting.
Either way, we're going to get fatter. It's just a matter of who's paying to get fatter, right? Okay.
Yes.
Deal. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. That's cool. And just to add a little bit of context to this segment, also for those of you that were wondering, this will not include a expanded playoffs or a universal DH.
As
of right now, it's going to go back to normal the way it was in 2019 and further. So you won't.
That's fine.
So you won't be seeing DHs in the National League this year. As of right now, like I said, that could change. You never know with the MLB, but as of right now, that's the plan.
Can the Braves move to the American League because their lineup with the DH last year was amazing?
Yes, it was. That I would say that lineup with the DH just guaranteed Marcell Ozuna a lot more money.
Yes,
so that's definitely something to consider.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about some NBA basketball news,
man. All
right. NBA basketball. Yeah. The power rankings came out yet again.
Okay.
And here are some notes as to the power rankings. At the top, we got the Los Angeles Clippers.
The Clippers.
Not the Lakers, but the other team from LA that like no one talks about.
Yeah.
The Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers are 16-5 so far this season, and they have won 9 out of their last 10 games. So it's safe to say they're on a pretty good hot streak right now.
Absolutely.
At number 2, we got the Philadelphia 76ers, mm-hmm. who, as of this recording, the Charlotte Hornets are playing tomorrow night.
Yeah, so they played them on Wednesday this week, right?
On Wednesday this week,
I'm going to go ahead and mark it down. Hornets are on a hot streak. Win.
Okay.
So I'm just Neil's predictions. Hopefully they work as good as the Simpsons. Okay. We'll see how good they work. So.
All right. We'll see how that works out. And then number three is the Los Angeles Lakers. Mm-hmm. The Los Angeles Lakers have been a little bit more on a downward spiral.
Did they drop because of that scary woman hollering at LeBron in Atlanta the other night?
That might have helped.
That was just weird.
I was about to say that was really weird seeing that.
Makes no sense to me.
That was really weird to see that. Okay, just on a side note,
I want to know why they're allowing courtside seats. That's weird to me.
That was my whole thing.
How in the world they have courtside seats in the middle of this, you know, COVID stuff?
Well, that was my whole question because, like, okay, here's the thing. I don't mind, obviously, fans coming to the games at a limited capacity. I don't mind that at all. But I guess my question is, why did you have seats so close to the players? Like, you know, like...
Yeah, so weird.
I mean, like, that was weird to me. You know, it's like, that would have been like if me and you had gone to that Panthers game that we went to, and we had been on the front row seats on the 50-yard line.
We were as close as you could be, just about. So, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like, so if that had happened, that would have been weird. So that was just kind of weird how that ended up turning out. But the Lakers did lose a couple of straight road games, so that obviously kind of dropped them down in the power rankings a little bit. They're obviously still number three, so obviously they're still good. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so number four is the Denver Chicken Nuggets at number four. And they are 12-8 this season.
All right.
And ranked fifth is the Jazz. The
Hornets got them coming up, too.
Yes, they do. They have them coming up on Friday.
On Friday.
On Friday.
So I don't have to predict that one yet because we'll be on interwebs by then.
Yes. Okay. Yes, for sure.
We'll talk about that one next week.
Yeah, for sure. And the Jazz are 15-5, and they have also won 9 out of their last 10. So they're also on a hot streak. Number six is the Nets. Number seven is the Bucks, who the Hornets beat on.
Soundly defeated.
Soundly beat them. And the Houston Rockets are number 16. The reason why I wanted to bring them up is because they are higher than they were in last week's power rankings, which we didn't bring up last week's power rankings because they weren't out yet because we record on a Monday and the power rankings come out on Tuesdays.
Right.
So we didn't talk about that last week. But the Rockets were like number 22 last week and now they're up 16. I thought that was just something to bring up after the James Harden trade.
Well, they people forget they do have Victor Oladipo. Okay.
Yes.
He's not a terrible player.
No.
Now they look completely different from what they did at this point last year, but They don't have a terrible team. It's a little different this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, people need to watch out for the Rockets just because they don't have James Harden anymore doesn't mean they're not a team you can at least look for.
I wouldn't say they're championship caliber, but they could be that team that maybe squeaks in on an 8 seed if they get lucky and do some damage in the playoffs, potentially.
Yeah.
Never know.
Hey, just we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And now here's the moment we've all been waiting for. The Charlotte Hornets are ranked number 17, which is actually an upgrade from where they were last week's power rankings. They were ranked number 23 last week. Like I said, we didn't talk about last week's power rankings
before. They are running a 3-game win streak right now.
Yes,
too.
They are.
That helps a lot.
But it helps, too, that those three games are against really good teams. It was against the Pacers, who are a...
It was the Bucks, then the Pacers.
Bucks, Pacers, and they beat the Miami Heat, who are the
on Monday night. Yeah,
who are the defending Eastern Conference champions?
Mm-hmm. So beat three
of
the
those
top.
Are pretty, pretty big games.
And each game, I would say, I mean, the Bucks game, I was shocked that they played so well against them.
I was surprised.
Which basically everybody on the Bucks except Giannis was doing terrible. Giannis carried the Bucks that whole game.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch much of the Pacers game that they played against the Pacers.
The Pacers game was really good.
That was really good. I saw the highlights. But last night, Monday night, the game against the Heat, wow.
That was a fun game to watch, man. That was a really fun game to watch, man. I sat and watched that whole game, and I could not get my eyes off the TV. I mean, that was such a fun game.
Seeing them go from beating the Bucks as good as they did to playing a solid game against Indiana to getting it done, basically they had to get the job done to beat Miami last night, Monday night. It shows you that they are getting used to playing together.
To
be such a young team that we talked about a couple weeks ago, to not have a normal offseason, to not have the training camp, to where basically LaMelo was drafted, what, 3 or 4 weeks later he's playing, you know?
Right.
And to be at this point and playing pretty decent basketball and to have Malik Monk jump up
out
of nowhere with Terry going down for an injury. And what was he ended up with 39? Is that what, how many? 39 points?
I think it was 36.
36 yeah. points.
36, which, by the way, was a career high for him.
Yeah, with the three-pointer to force overtime. Amber and I were watching the game on Monday night. We were watching. We were finished. You know, we were trying to stay up to watch it, but we were both tired. But we both wanted to see the end because of how good the game was.
You know, I know.
You couldn't
yeah.
just turn it off. And I said, all right, Amber, who's going to get the last shot? Because we had Hayward out there. We had Devontae Graham, who was nailing them left and right.
Oh, yeah.
We had Malik Monk out there. And I think LaMelo was out there, too. I can't remember. We had a pretty small lineup out there.
Yes.
But I said, who's going to get the last shot? She said, I don't know. I said, I don't know either. I said, I hadn't seen them in this situation. And when I saw Monk come off that screen, I was like,
yeah.
Are you serious? For real?
For real.
But and then he shot it and made it. And I couldn't. I wanted to holler, but Graham was asleep.
Right.
I just like made that shocked face. You know,
that was unbelievable to watch, man. No, that was a lot of fun.
That was crazy to watch.
Okay, but talking about the Hornets just real quick, keep in mind that they had to win this game against the Heat without Terry Rozier
mm-hmm.
and without PJ Washington for basically half the game.
Oh, yeah.
So that just shows there that obviously it shows to me that they have what it takes to overcome that to win, but it also shows that the Hornets have a pretty decent bench that can come off the bench and make plays. I mean, obviously, talking about Monk, he had 36 points, and up until the game against either the Pacers or the Bucks, I forget which one he really started playing
He's
more.
He's been completely out of the rotation.
He was basically on the bench until a week ago
mm-hmm.
as of this recording. So mm-hmm. for him to come up and be big like that was really big, and I think it just shows that the Hornets are really a team that's, like you said, they're getting more used to playing to each other, but I mean, obviously, I watch them every night, so I see them more than other teams. But they, to me, play more like a team than any team in basketball.
I could agree with that. And here's the audio clip from the Fox Sports. I think it's Fox Sports Southeast or
yes.
South. This the Hornets station. Here's Eric Collins calling the last second shot for the Hornets. So if you can't tell, Eric Collins is a very animated individual.
Which, here's the thing, Neil. Those are the commentators I love to listen to.
That's right.
I love listening to those commentators, which one of my favorite videos, this is just a quick little note. One of my favorite commentators just to listen to on highlights is Paul Allen for the
mm-hmm,
Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
I just love listening to him get excited or whenever something bad happens to him, just get so upset.
He's very vocal as
well. Just because, like, that doesn't happen a lot with commentators, and I just think that was pretty cool. So anyway,
yeah, and we talked about the Hornets have the Sixers coming up and the Nuggets. No, the Jazz.
And the Jazz coming up.
So
the rest of this week.
So if they keep this hot streak going and they beat those two teams, that's impressive as well.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And people were nagging about James Borrego and how he's handling this rotation, and all of a sudden, well, I don't hear them to complain too much now.
No.
So we'll see.
All right, man. Yeah, for sure. I guess we'll see it.
All right, Cody.
All right.
This week, I know I'm an adult, okay? But
okay.
I'm a kid at heart when it comes to video games, okay?
Oh, yeah.
This week has made me so happy. I have almost come to tears of joy twice, okay? So I'll start out with both of them are monumental for me. I'll start out with a little more minor one.
Okay.
So it came out this week on February 1st. That, of course, we saw who the cover athlete and the release date for MLB The Show 21 is going to be.
Yes.
And it's Fernando Tatis Jr. for the Padres.
Tatis is my boy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and
my boy that's not on the Red Sox.
That's not on the Red Sox. He's so much fun to watch, right? And the little trailer was cool where he talked about, you know, I break all the unwritten rules of baseball. And,
yeah.
You know, sorry if I hurt your feelings and things like that, which is what that was really cool. But what made it the icing on the cake, for me personally and for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
MLB The Show used to be PlayStation exclusive for years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I had MLB, I want to say 13, The Show. We had Andrew McCutchen on the cover. It's when I had a PS3 for a little bit.
Yes.
But ever since MLB 2K13, I want to say, that's the last baseball game that was on Xbox. I think it was...
Yes.
I think it was 2K13.
Yes, you're right.
MLB 21, The Show, or The Show 21, whatever you want to call it, is coming to Xbox.
Yes, it is.
I'm very excited happy. For that. I almost jumped up and screamed when I saw that.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a Photoshop for a second, because we've heard rumors left and right that it could be coming to Xbox as well as PlayStation. And we heard a thing that Major League Baseball told, was it PlayStation Studios and San Diego Studios?
Yes.
That they may lose their rights to the MLB if they don't make it a double platform
right.
or cross platform game.
A dual platform.
And they did. And I get to have that game when it comes out in April. They announced it on the 1st. On the 3rd, they announced the bonus content, stuff like that.
Yes.
Pre-order, all that stuff. Man, I'm so excited.
Well, obviously, for me, I'm very excited because I'm a baseball guy. And I've played that game for the past few years. Like, this every year it comes out, I'm so excited for it. I mean, Neil, you will really have a lot of fun with that game. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it. I mean, like, obviously it's not as deep as 2K
right.
for like franchise mode or stuff sure. like that. But like just the game itself, obviously for me as a baseball guy, I'm obviously a little bit biased, but it's a lot of fun. So like whenever you get it and have it on your Xbox, please like text me or let me know so I can come over to your house and I'll just like, and we'll just have a lot of fun with it for sure.
Objective number one on there is to relocate the race to Charlotte.
Yes.
Because I already looked up and you can relocate to, you did on,
yes,
you could on this past year's game.
Yes,
and
you
so
can.
I want to relocate the race to Charlotte.
Okay. Well, plus two, you can do it the first year that the team exists. They ain't like Madden where you have to wait a year.
Right.
You can do it the first
do
year.
Do it immediately.
Yeah. Like you can do it off the bat. So and that's something you don't
so
have to
I'll,
worry about.
I'll start doing some research. I'll start doing some historical studies on what I'm going to name my Major League Baseball team in Charlotte.
Okay. Here's mine.
Okay.
Either the Sky Guys
mm-hmm.
or the Aviators.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That would be cool because of flight and stuff like that.
Right.
That would be cool.
The first in flight mm-hmm. license plate mm-hmm. and, and the whole first airplane thing.
And I would have to decide, are they going to be like, just for example, would they be the Charlotte Aviators or would they be the Carolina Aviators? Because,
okay.
You got both of those in there you could fix in either way.
Right.
Because
that's true.
Even when the Bobcats were an expansion team, they also had the name choices of the Charlotte Flight, which would have been really cool.
Yeah,
and
that'd been cool.
The Carolina Cash, because of Charlotte being the banking industry.
Yes.
But then Bob Johnson named them the Bobcats, and it was just kind of downhill from there.
Okay.
But the opportunity and the it's all limitless when it comes to that, and I'm so excited to have a legitimate baseball game to play on Xbox.
Yes.
Once again, and not have to settle for MLB 2K11 on Xbox 360. but that was monumental video game news, period.
Oh, yeah.
But what came out on Tuesday this week, Cody?
Yes.
That makes this one look like it's nothing, okay?
Oh, yeah. Because people have been yelling and screaming for this for
years.
Oh,
I did an advanced Twitter search on my Twitter account. I've been talking about it for like 6 or 7 years, okay? It's almost like unreal to say this, okay?
Yeah.
I'm getting giddy just talking about it, okay? EA Sports is bringing back college football.
Yes!
Oh, my gosh, dude. When I saw that, I didn't think it was real. Like
I first heard that, I was like, okay, I hope this isn't like a Photoshop or, mm-hmm. Because
kinda
people
like,
have been
it's
doing
kinda
it
like
for
how
years.
I was with the show coming to three or to the Xbox. I thought, no way. But this, I was like, no way. There's no way this is happening. But it is. And it just came out on Tuesday.
Yes.
We don't know anything else, but hey, it's coming. Okay. We don't know.
We just know it's happening.
We don't know when. We don't know who's going to be on the cover. Sam Howell.
That's enough. That is enough. For me to get excited.
But that all they had to do was say, we're coming back. Basically just like the Michael Jordan facts, I'm back. that's basically all they had to say. People lost their minds, rightfully so.
Oh, yeah.
I was one of them, okay? I said a couple years ago that I would gladly pay EA Sports $100 or more for a new football game, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
and
you're like, whoa.
Maybe 60, okay, at the most. I got a kid now, okay? I didn't have a kid when I tweeted that a couple years ago. But, oh, man, I'm so excited.
I'm looking forward to that, dude.
And,
that's going to be fun.
What we know right now is that they'll have about 100, that's what they're saying right now, 100 FBS schools, which is plenty to choose from.
That's a lot.
It would be nice if they could throw in some FCS conferences and not just have FCS
East.
Southeast and all that stuff. Just a few of them. They're going to have the stadiums, they're going to have the uniforms, logos, and all that. But as of right now, due to legal things, they can't have anybody on the team that looks similar to a real life player. Okay.
Right.
Because like used to, you could have like somebody that looked like Mark Ingram, but they didn't call him Mark Ingram. It was just HB number 22. Or if you did the auto generate names, it could be like Sandy Johnson or something like that. We don't know. It could be, I mean, it's just random. But so as of right now, there'll be people that look nothing like him. Now they'll still have like attributes pretty similar to him, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Just to kind of keep them as somewhat realistic.
Right, of course.
But who cares? We're hitting college football.
Yeah, I was about to say, man, and I don't care about that.
If
I'm
it's
excited.
Anything like Madden where you can just make your own draft class and stuff, we'll find a way to have real people on there. But in the meantime, if you're going to auto-generate names, I came up with a few. Okay, so EA Sports, if you're listening, I don't even know if Tiburon's still a thing that used to be with EA Sports. If you are somehow listening to this podcast, first of all, welcome. Okay.
Yes,
We love to talk sports, but we hope we get a little extra Jesus in your life too. But here's my recommendations for some of these players and coaches in your new college football game. So, for quarterback for the Tar Heels, you can have Ham Sowell.
Ham, okay.
Ham Sowell.
His first name is Ham, okay.
The legendary coach for Alabama, you can have Sick Naban, okay.
Oh, that's a sick name.
Yeah, thanks, man. For that coach down in Clemson, it's old Sabo Dweeney, okay.
Okay.
Their wide receiver down in Clemson, he's going to be a threat in the new game, Rustin Joss.
Yes.
And then who can't but love Ned Orgeron to coach for LSU, you know. If they could somehow get him to say "Go Tigers" in the game. Oh my goodness, dude.
I
just got chills thinking about it. But, you know, I tell myself every now and then, okay, this might be the last video game I ever buy. Like when it was Madden 21 or, you know, Red Dead Redemption, things like that.
Yes.
But in a matter of days when they announce MLB The Show is coming to Xbox and college football is coming back.
Yeah, you're like, nope.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry to my bank account. Sorry to my credit card balance. Sorry to my wife. Okay. Yeah, that's all I can say. I'm sorry, not sorry. I'm so excited. All right. Well, let's sum up the weekly score with the obvious. We got a Super Bowl to talk about.
Yes, we do have a Super
Bowl.
Okay,
we talked about who won the championship games, the conference championships last week. So let's go ahead and give our Super Bowl prediction as we get out of here today, Cody.
All right, man.
We have the Kansas City Chiefs playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. Super Bowl 55, where they lost a perfect opportunity to have Super Bowl LV in Las Vegas, but that was last week's news. So, Cody, give me your thoughts and give me your prediction.
Oh, man. This has been so hard. I've literally been thinking about this ever since Championship Sunday, man. I've literally been thinking about this for a long time, and it is so hard to choose because you have plenty of reasons to choose and not choose both teams to win this game. I mean, obviously because of the quarterbacks, it's like you've said and like a lot of people have said, it's the last generation versus the present generation of quarterbacks. You got the GOAT, the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, and then you got Patrick Mahomes, who's like the guy who everyone's saying is going to be the future GOAT, even though there's only one GOAT. But anyway, so with that being said, there are, like I said, there are advantages and disadvantages to both. It's so hard because there's a team I want to win, and then there's a team who I think is going to win.
Okay.
And they're two different ones.
So they're two different ones.
And they're two different ones.
If there were three different ones, we'd have a problem, Cody.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. So the team that I want to win is Kansas City.
Okay.
I want Kansas City to win, not because of it being Tom Brady, and I don't like Tom Brady. I love watching Tom Brady. Tom Brady's been in the NFL since before I was born. Tom Brady's been in the NFL before I was born. I've seen Tom Brady my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tom Brady wins, I will be happy for him that he's got another ring. But I really want Tom Brady to be in this Super Bowl by a, I don't mean to sound mean, but by a actually really good quarterback. Not that Eli Manning and Nick Foles weren't good quarterbacks, but they weren't Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying.
True.
And to be honest, this is going to be the toughest challenge for Tampa Bay in this playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. By far. Mm-hmm. By far. I mean, like, obviously, Green Bay was a tough challenge, although Green Bay just couldn't take advantage of the opportunities that they had. Kansas City, I'm sure, saw that game. And one thing that they saw was, hey, Tom Brady's not perfect. And if Green Bay can force those turnovers and force things in their favor, we can.
And capitalize on it.
And capitalize on it, because the Chiefs are better than Green Bay. The Chiefs have been the best team in the NFL this season, obviously by a record standpoint. One could argue that they're the best team in the league, period. Mm-hmm. They obviously have the title of Super Bowl champions right now on their side. And, you know, that's obviously something to consider. Obviously, the home field advantage aspect with Tampa Bay is going to be huge, because that's the first time it's ever happened. But I want the Kansas City Chiefs to win this game so bad. I really do. I want Patrick Mahomes to win back-to-back rings. I want him to have a great career. I want all these things to happen. But the team that I think is going to win are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Tampa Bay is going to win this game. Obviously, if they don't, like I said, I'm not going to be disappointed, because I want the Chiefs to win. But I can't vote against Tom Brady, dude. Mm-hmm. I just can't.
Yeah.
It's just so hard for me to just look at that. Look at that resume. Not just for the playoffs, but just for Super Bowls alone. He's going to his 10th Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the league 21 years.
Yep.
Half of his career, he's been mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl.
Over half of your lifetime.
Over half of my lifetime, he's been in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So when I just see that, I'm just like, how can I vote against that?
Yeah.
I made the mistake of voting against it last week, even though I don't think it was a mistake.
No, I don't think so.
At all. But Tom Brady just proved that he's Tom Brady once again. But with that being said, I think Tampa Bay is going to win.
Do you have a score in mind?
Because
right now the over-under is 56.5.
My
total.
Let's see. I'm going to say the final score is going to be something like 31-28. 35, 31.
So you think they'll hit the over for sure?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes, for sure. But one of the reasons why I think Tampa Bay is probably going to win or can win is because the Chiefs are kind of a little bit shorthanded on offense for sure. I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, so he can make things happen.
Sure.
But the fact that the Chiefs are a little bit shorthanded with a few players going into the Super Bowl, and this is on Tuesday, even more could change between now and then, obviously for both sides. But I just think that the Chiefs being out a few players might hurt them a little bit. Obviously, they lost one of their offensive linemen because he tore his ACL, which that's got to be really disappointing. You make it to the Super Bowl and you tear your ACL. That's really sad. But anyway, with Tampa Bay, one, you're playing at your home stadium, which has never happened before, ever in Super Bowl history. You got the GOAT on your team. You wouldn't have made it there without him. Let's just be honest here. You wouldn't have made it to the Super Bowl without him. You have so many weapons on offense. Even without Antonio Brown being in the championship game, they did amazing. The running game for Tampa Bay went underrated, in my opinion, in the championship game. For those of you who watched that, you saw that spin Leonard Fournette made in the first quarter.
Playoff Lenny.
Yeah, playoff Lenny. That was insane. But I just think that all the advantages that have in Tampa Bay's favor, I just think it's going to be too much for the Chiefs.
I'm picking. I want them to win, and I'm picking them to win. Tampa Bay.
So we're
agreeing on this, which is good. But my advantages could also be huge disadvantages.
That is true.
So my advantage is really plain and simple. They're playing at home.
Of course.
Okay. And I'm not saying that's the only reason why they'll win. Okay. They're a tremendous team.
Right.
Kansas City's amazing. Okay. But think about it like this. Never, just like you said, never have we ever had a team play the Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Right. Okay? So that can mean something.
Now, I don't know what their schedule is for this week, but just think about being in Super Bowl week and you just going home to your wife and kids. Okay. You're not stuck up in a hotel. Okay. Kansas City, they're stuck up in a hotel this week.
Right.
They probably were last week too. Okay. Now I know they're doing super duper strict COVID regulations right now that basically they're going to play the game with or without pro stars or without the pro players. Okay.
Right.
Not pro, you know what I mean? Without the superstars.
Uh-huh.
They're going to do that. So we could see Chad Henne versus, who's the backup for,
is it Josh Rosen?
No, it wasn't Rosen. It's Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine Gabbert.
So we could see Chad Henne versus Blaine Gabbert. Let's hope not. But I mean, so
they're
going to play with or without the superstars. But just think about it like this. You could potentially be sleeping in your own bed during Super Bowl week, okay? You're at your own place. You're at your own facilities. You're in your own town. Everything's comfortable to you.
Right.
Which is a good thing and could be a bad thing because you could not be in that mindset of, hey, this is Super Bowl week. But I think that plays more to an advantage of Tampa Bay than it does Kansas City, because, and also in Kansas City's favor, or Kansas City's disadvantage, this might just feel like a road game in Tampa Bay. This might not feel
right
like a Super Bowl, which
it doesn't feel like a Super Bowl,
which it probably will. But when you're going to Tampa to play Tampa, it might just feel like a road game, you know?
Right.
And I think it feeling like a road game might play some mind games on both sides of the ball.
Right. Okay? Of course.
But it's going to be a tremendous game. I've been full of hot takes all episode. I'm going to say one more.
Okay.
Tampa Bay is going to win by 3. Okay. They're going to win 35-32.
Okay. 32. Not 31, but
32. 32. Okay. Somewhere there's going to be a 2-point version in there for Kansas City or something. Okay.
Okay.
Because they're going to have to make a comeback to get to 32. All right. So I'm just go ahead and I'm predicting the whole thing. Okay. I'm trying to, you know, I ain't using no crystal balls. I ain't no psychic, nothing like that. Okay. And yeah, I just said psychic in the most. I said psychic. Wow. Okay. But anyway, they're going to win 35-32. Okay. Playoff Lenny's going to have 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
Okay. Tom Brady's going to throw the rest. I'm not sure who's going to catch him. Who? It doesn't matter. Gronk will probably get one.
Gronk, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin.
So 3 different people.
Yeah, 3 different people.
Okay. And this is how Kansas City is going to lose. They're going to lose on a Butker field goal. He's going to miss it. He's going to try to kick a field goal to force OT, and he's going to miss it. And Tom Brady will scoot out with 1 more Super Bowl. And that's how it's going to end.
Okay.
Write it down.
Okay.
I love it. I'm going to scare myself if that happens, Cody.
I'm going to write it down with all the other
– with all my other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that happens to a T, I'm almost scared myself. Okay?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's – I when I make up the Super Bowl in my mind, that's how it's going to end for sure.
All right.
All right, folks. Well, that does it for this week's episode. Thank you all for joining in and hanging out with us for the past hour or so. Hope you got a lot out of today's Double Play Devo and today's weekly score. We'll be back next week with summing up who won the Super Bowl. We'll also have a Daytona 500 preview with Parrish. Parrish will be joining us on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'll have our Double Play Devo next week as well. But we hope you all have a good week. Follow us on all of our social media accounts. Subscribe to us on wherever you find your podcast. And as we close out today's show, Cody, who is our minor league baseball team of the week?
Our team of the week this week is the Aberdeen Ironbirds.
The Aberdeen Ironbirds. Where are they located, Cody?
They are located in Aberdeen, in Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's Aberdeen, North Carolina. That's what I was asking for a second.
Yeah. Well, like I just honestly wanted to see your reaction to when I just said Aberdeen. I just wanted to see what your reaction was going to be.
Thank you.
Yeah, but anyway. So, the Aberdeen Ironbirds are the single-A advanced team for the Baltimore Orioles. They have been part of the Baltimore Orioles since 2002, but they have been a team since 1977.
Oh, wow.
So, they've been a team for a long time. I'm sure they've had different names.
Sure.
And
affiliations and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, like, just to name some of the teams that they've been with the Blue Jays, the Phillies, the White Sox, the Red Sox, and the, at the time, Florida Marlins.
Okay.
Marlins, yes.
Cool.
Just to name a couple of notable players that play for that team, they have had players like Zach Britton, who's on the Yankees. They also had third baseman Manny Machado play for them, and someone that Neil might know, Nick Markakis.
Oh, yes.
Also played for the Ironbirds as well. Their team colors are black, orange, white, blue, and silver. And their stadium name is Leidas Field at Ripken Stadium.
Oh, okay.
Because they are owned by Cal Ripken Jr.
Cool deal. Well, if you're ever in Aberdeen, Maryland, go check out the Ironbirds.
Yes.
Right?
The Ironbirds.
Cool deal. Y'all have a good week. We'll see you next time. Bye.